Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses the current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. Stay tuned and listen to the movers and shakers in multifamily share their opinions and thoughts about what's old, what's new, and where the multifamily industry is heading in the future. You are listening to Multifamily Matters, because multifamily matters.
Well, welcome and thank you for tuning in to Multifamily Matters, the only broadcast radio show in the nation that's solely dedicated to the multifamily industry and industry operations. I'm your host, Paul Marks. We have a great show with a wonderful guest who's extremely knowledgeable and right in the middle of today's topic. And today we're discussing the topic of what is currently on the horizon for multifamily. Joining me by phone is a prolific journalist who covers the multifamily industry daily, Paul Bergeron, the executive editor of the real estate content platform Thought Leadership Today. Welcome, Paul.
Well, hello, everyone. Yeah, great to be with you. It's been a great start to 2022, and I've got a lot of interesting and even mind-blowing things to share.
Well, great. We the topic that we kind of titled is what's currently on the horizon for multifamily. And for our listeners, I want them to understand that this is what Paul believes. Based on the different summits he's attended and the industry leaders he's interviewed and spoken with, of what really is the outlook and what's going on with multifamily in the first part of this year. And Paul, I know that you I actually saw a post, and of course you sent me some information on the fact that you recently attended the multifamily social media summit. I believe it was held out in Napa Valley in California. Tell us a little bit about that. How well was it attended, first of all? Everybody's starting to get back to doing things in person, and what were some of the things that you learned?
Yeah, it was fantastic. I had never been. This was the 10th annual event, and it seems like every year when it's held, you talk to people who win, and they'll tell you, oh, this is the best conference I've ever been to. Yeah, it's a little bit of a hike to get to Napa Valley. You know, it's about a 45-minute cab ride from the airport, but it was well worth it. I really enjoyed it. The speaker lineup was great. The venue was great. Of course, the attendees were great. The hotel sold out pretty early, so there were a lot of people staying, in fringe hotels. So it was quite the attraction, and we had a great time.
Great, great. And it seems, because I know you've been going to recent events over the last year. I know you and I saw each other at Apartmentalize back in September in Chicago. So tell me, you think things are starting to get a little bit more back to the in-person type meeting? Do you think that's starting to catch a little traction?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Texas has kind of been its own rulemaker and it hasn't been as huge a deal there, but there's been some caution in the industry in terms of companies letting people attend things. But I didn't hear any resistance from anyone about not being able to go. I mean, I guess the only thing people might be talking about is the cost of airfare, which, I guess we're all suffering from that. But yeah, it was a great crowd. No mask mandates, no vaccine mandates or cards or anything. It was just like the good old days, I guess.
Okay, good. Well, hopefully things will start getting back to normal. And, we got a couple of big conferences coming up here in Texas as well as in other parts of the country. So we'll see how that goes. Let's talk a little bit about what some of the things were that you were able to glean from the social media summit. What were some of the things that you saw that kind of surprised you?
Yeah, they had about 8 or 9 really good sessions about a variety of topics and trends. I mean, this was dubbed as sort of an advanced level for social media, so I'm not going to get too advanced with you because, for one, I'm not an expert, and two, I think it's just important to have a sense of what's coming and what people are doing. The first session was from Erica Byram, if you know her from Apartments.com. Mm-hmm. She used to work at ForRent. She's been on top of this stuff for years and years and years, and she gave a very opening session where she kind of did a laundry list of every type of social media channel there is and what's the latest with them. And admittedly, and she said it several times, she says that she's all about Instagram. She says that's really the number one platform for apartment marketers right now for a lot of reasons, mostly because they have the most sophisticated platform and they're constantly changing their coding and constantly making improvements to it. So you know that when you're with them, you're in the moment and you know, the most current trends with things like that. She talked about how technology adoption is at an all-time high right now coming out of the pandemic. So people in the apartment industry are getting comfortable getting used to dealing with changing technology through social media. I mean, some of the features that these platforms had were pretty amazing in terms of what you can do in terms of finding your audience, targeting your audience, getting more engagement, driving things. She mentioned that the average person is on social media for 2 hours and 25 minutes a day. I don't know where they got that number. I'm guessing there's got to be a lot of people who that's higher. I don't know about myself. That sounds about right, I guess. Really, she said now with Instagram, there are 81% of their users are actually using it to search for products. So, I mean, products would include apartment communities, right? Mm-hmm. One of the funniest lines she had was she talked a little bit about Pinterest, if you're familiar with Pinterest, which is kind of a more visual and image-based platform. She says that Pinterest is the fantasy football for girls or women or ladies, I guess, which I guess she means the enthusiasm for that site among females is as great as it, fantasy football is for guys. Although I got to tell you, I've been in quite a few fantasy football leagues where the women are just as enthusiastic as the men.
So tell me a little bit about, you know, you were talking about new technologies and technology. What about video? What are they talking about with when it comes to video?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So they were constantly saying that video is ruling the day. And then if you want to get a little more specific, it's called short form video, or I guess you could just fill in the word TikTok, which, you might be familiar. I'm sure the audience is familiar with TikTok as being kind of a, came off as a kind of a goofy platform where people did a lot of dancing and things like that. But it's really evolved into much more than that and is now being used by apartment communities all the time to promote themselves. And, you know, that's really been the exploding situation, short form video. Somebody there mentioned, and this was really interesting, they said, look, you have your smartphone and you're looking at the screen and you're watching it or doing whatever. They were talking about the most impactful thing that something like TikTok can be. And that is, if you do your videos correctly, if they're intriguing and engaging and funny and informative or whatever it is, you're speaking to your audience about 5 or 6 inches away from their face. I mean, people put their phone right up to their face. That's how intimate this relationship is with the short form video these days. I thought that was kind of a fascinating comparison.
Yeah, that really is. That really is. What about, go ahead.
I'm sorry. And with short term video, form video, so TikTok's not the only game in town, although, you know, the headline there was, you know, it's no longer an underdog in social media. Well, it definitely isn't. It's kind of a leader. All the other platforms are doing similar things. YouTube has something called Shorts, which is, as you can imagine, short videos. Pinterest has short videos called Idea Pins. Snapchat offers something called Spotlight. Facebook, of course, with Instagram has something called Reels. And those channels are really getting a huge amount of attraction by consumers these days and the apartment industry.
And talk a little bit about what about social media commerce. What is that all about?
Oh, okay. So this was interesting to me. So you might, for all of us who've been around, there was the big pursuit of being able to lease your apartments online. Remember that? I mean, you would go to a website, you would do the whole process online. You wouldn't have to go to the community or you wouldn't have to see anybody if you didn't want to. And that was a big deal. And I think the industry's kind of perfected that. Well, now there were speakers there who were talking about the fact that you can go to a social media site and lease an apartment now. That's just getting started. So there is e-commerce that's attached to social media channels now. I mean, we all know that you can buy clothes or food or whatever else, but now there's going to be apartment communities, I'd say this year, if not right now, who are going to be able to enable their prospects to lease apartments from social media channel. I think that's kind of exciting when people are always talking about this frictionless world that we're trying to create for our consumers. It's just hopefully making things easier.
Yeah, no, that is going to be interesting to watch. We're gonna break here. We've got some more we want to talk about. Some of the things that you saw and experienced at the social media summit. And we got a lot of other things to discuss, too. But we're going to be back right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Multifamily properties' water and sewer rates are skyrocketing every year. The only way to lessen the impact is to reduce water consumption through water conservation. E-Conserve has pioneered a no-cost, no-risk water conservation program, and it doesn't cost you a penny. A property in Houston is saving over $196,000 a year with this no-cost program. Call E-Conserve today at 713-662-3220. For a free analysis of your property, that's eConserve at 713-662-3220.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back, and you are listening to Multifamily Matters, and we're discussing the topic of what is currently on the horizon for multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me today by phone is a very prolific journalist who covers the multifamily industry daily, Paul Bergeron, the executive editor of the real estate content platform Thought Leadership Today. Before we jump into the conversation, I do want to remind our listeners, if you would like to provide show topics, guest ideas, suggestions, or just listen to any archived episode of Multifamily Matters, please go to our website at multifamilyradio.com. So, Paul, we ended the last segment talking about social media commerce and how you'll be able to ultimately rent an apartment through different social media platforms. And, you know, the thought always occurs to me that who's going to be first in the water? You know, there's got to be a pioneer out there. And I just was interested in your opinion, what type of company in the multifamily industry do you foresee as being someone who would be willing to go out and pioneer and get this movement started in the industry?
Yeah, I mean, it really would be a company that is not afraid to try new things, that has the support of executive leadership. I mean, it's one of those kind of why not? Let's try it, right? I mean, they say that there's no such thing as failure in marketing because you've learned something from it. I mean, if you look at the growth in these platforms, you have things like something called Instagram Checkout, which has 130 million users. You have Twitter testing out something called Twitter Shops, where there's call to action buttons on profiles, et cetera. Then you have things like TikTok and Shopify coming together, and they're creating a social commerce channel. So this is a great way for sellers to reach consumers. And what you do is you could put pictures of your floor plans somewhere on your social media posts. And from there, you have links where people can do the shopping and do the leasing. That's kind of the formula that they were suggesting.
And I know you'd mentioned to me social media audio. What is that?
Social media audio. Yeah, it's great because we're talking on radio, right?
Right. So
I didn't really know what that was initially either, but it makes perfect sense now. You see everything everywhere where there's podcasts, right? And you have Spotify, and you have younger people who are spending more time listening to things rather than maybe viewing things. I mean, we all know that TV viewing is moving away. They talked about hosts and channels in social media audio, and one of the benefits is, okay, so people have been doing Zoom calls for like 2 years, right? And people are a little uncomfortable maybe with their appearance, and it takes a lot of work, and you got to look good, and maybe you don't look good. This is kind of the sweet spot in between. So you can be comfortable and you can talk and engage with audio, but without having the pressure of having to sit in front of a computer screen or to look your best or things like that. So they were talking about the benefits that way. And they were also talking about the fact that it's easier to produce and it costs less than producing a video. So what are these channels? So LinkedIn has a podcast network. Twitter is creating a podcast tab within their platform. Amazon has something called AMP, A-M-P, where that's going to provide audio opportunities. And then really the first one that got into this was something called Clubhouse. And that was where people would log in when they wanted to talk with groups of friends or groups of strangers, really anybody who has a common interest. So you jump into the social media audio, you listen or you participate or you lead a discussion, and you can create a following that way. So someone says, well, how is the apartment industry going to apply this? And what they suggested was maybe what you do as a community is you create a panel of your residents. You find 3, 4, 5 of your residents who are outgoing and engaging and who love your community, and you have maybe a 30 or 45 minute discussion with them about why they love living at your apartment community, what the features are, the benefits, you know, the sense of community and things like that. So it seemed like a kind of a evolving but growing social media platform, something to at least put on your list of channels to consider. So that was the gist of that.
And what is user generated content?
So user generated content has been around for a couple of years, probably at least 5 or 6 years, I would say, and it's getting more. It's becoming more of a priority, and here's why. So user-generated content means that the user or the apartment renter or the consumer or the shopper is the one that's creating the content, not the marketer and not some professional agency. So that leads to an incredible high level of authenticity, and authenticity is ruling the day right now when it comes to social media. People don't always trust corporate brands or corporate commercials. They want authenticity. They want to hear from, you know, the resident rather than the owner about why their property is so good. And you'll see this on a lot of channels, apartment community channels. They'll have contests where the residents it might be a photo contest where, you know, who's got the nicest pet, or it might be a TikTok contest where people go out in the community and the property and create a, you know, 10, 20, 30 second TikTok video or things like that. And all of that's great. The key here for apartments is you need to get their consent. And that's not difficult to do because you know your residents. All you have to do is ask. It's not too formalized of a process. But you do have to get their permission to be able to share and use their content that they've created. The other one, too, is influencer marketing, which is sort of an offshoot of user-generated content. And we've been hearing a lot about this. So what that is you find somebody in your neighborhood or in your community, even better, who has a huge following. All you have to do is check their accounts and see how many followers they have and see how well engaged they are. And you either pay them or even offer them free rent to live in your property and create videos, I don't know, two or three a week or one a day or whatever you come up with, where they're taking pictures of themselves in their apartment home or in their apartment community or in the neighborhood saying, wow, you know, I live here and I'm so close to this venue, or I get to, you know, go to this activity, or my, you know, my friends are down the hall, or whatever it is, just to drum up realistic, authentic information and content about what it's like to live at that property.
Wow. All right. We've got about 4 minutes left in this segment, and I wanted to ask you really the last question about the social media summit that you attended, and that is, what did they discuss about metaverse?
Okay, so we had someone who is a technology writer for USA Today. His name is Jeremiah Ouyang. Pretty popular guy, has a great following. He was one of our speakers. And the metaverse didn't come up that much. The metaverse, of course, is sort of the virtual reality world that Facebook and other people are creating right now. And I think most people, it's kind of a mystery. I know it is for me. I've even written about it. And we're wondering where this is going. It's called Web 3.0. But anyway, eventually someone asked him, you know, a year from now at this conference, are we going to be talking about the metaverse and talking about apartment communities and things like that? And his answer was, there's already apartment communities in the metaverse. In fact, yours probably is, and it's being bought and sold. And everybody in the room, there's kind of like that hush, you know, where everyone just kind of like, whoa, what? And what he said was, there's, I guess you'd call it an app. There's something you can subscribe to or log into through the metaverse, and it's called, there's three of them. The one that he talked most about was something called Earth 2. So it's Earth and the number 2. And what it is it made a replicate of the entire Earth as you would see on, what's it called, Google Earth, where you can log in and see the entire Earth.
Right.
And when you go there, yeah, you could find your property in, you know, Dallas or whatever, and you can interact with it. And there's participants in this, I'll call it a game. I don't know if it's a game, but in metaverse that people are buying and selling your property. I mean, it's fictional, right? I mean, I'm not totally aware of it, but the fact that we've gotten this far already and people aren't even aware, I can only imagine what's going to be going on with the metaverse and the apartment industry a year from now.
Yeah, I mean, that is amazing.
Exactly. I actually have a post about this on my LinkedIn page for Thought Leadership Today if people are interested, if they want to go look at it.
Okay, well, look, we're going to go ahead and end this segment here, and we're going to be back. We're going to be talking about some other things going on in the industry other than the social media summit right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
Control by Net provides communities with video surveillance solutions accessible 24/7 from any web browser or mobile device. Our remote guarding reduces crime in garages and mailrooms. Many top owners and managers already utilize our services and love the single sign-on feature to see all properties. As NAA and NMHC members, Control by Net only serves multifamily. Our cloud and managed video solution is consistently voted easiest to use. We meet any compliance requirements. Visit us at www.controlbynet.com or email us for a free site survey at crproperty@controlbynet.com.
Well, we are back and you are listening to Multifamily Matters. And today we're discussing the topic of what is currently on the horizon for multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining by phone is a prolific journalist who covers the multifamily industry daily, Paul Bergeron, the executive editor of the real estate content platform Thought Leadership Today. I do want to take a moment and thank our exclusive sponsors that make Multifamily Matters possible. EconServe, providing multifamily water conservation solutions for properties across the U.S. Rev, the leasing management company. Rev is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Control by Net, providing multifamily video surveillance and remote guarding, solving your security issues. Allegion, a leading provider of mobile-enabled products and solutions for efficient access control within multifamily properties. And CTS, complete technology solutions, making managed IT an easy business decision for multifamily. So, Paul, in the first two segments, we kind of talked about some of the things that you gleaned from the social media summit that you attended, but there's a lot of other things that are going on in the industry. One of them has to do with staffing. I am constantly hearing from people in the industry. It's a difficult situation for them to find people in certain positions. There's always been a high turnover rate in multifamily, but with what some people are calling the Great Resignation, it's made it even more of an issue and more of a challenge. Tell me some of the things that that you're hearing.
Yeah, it continues to be a problem. The numbers that came out from the government this week said that 4.4 million people either quit or changed their jobs in February, which is up from January when January's numbers was 4.3 and everybody freaked out. So yeah, it's really interesting. I'm getting calls from people occasionally who I know saying, you know, I need to find a regional property manager. You know anybody? You know, just in case, you know, maybe I have to come across somebody in my discussion. So it's a big deal. So companies, you know, this doesn't work for everybody, but there's a concept out there now that's getting a lot of momentum called the centralized leasing situation. And, you know, there's software companies out there that are helping to enable it. But really what it means is if you're a large company and maybe you have seven or eight properties in Dallas or, you know, five or six or whatever it is, you might have one staff that handles the leasing for all of them. And the benefit to that, of course, is you don't have to have one person at every property. You can have several people at a headquarters site who are handling the leasing for you. So you save a little bit of manpower on that. And also it gives you the opportunity that if your properties are close to each other, maybe you don't have the absolute perfect unit for this person in one property, but another one that you own 3 miles away does. So it makes it easier for the prospect to learn about that and to potentially tour or lease at that property, because this is all taking place essentially on one phone call. You don't have to do separate guest cards. You don't have to call different people. You don't have to go through the process more than once. So it's really been something that companies are getting more comfortable with, and they've tried it out on pilot programs, et cetera. You know, I spoke to Camden a little bit about this. Christy Simonette was featured in one of my stories, and she was talking about the fact that these systems really, they can do so much more with same amount of people or so much more in less time with the same amount of people when you use this type of process. She says it was a game changer during this talent war we are all experiencing. She said, we've leveraged the platform to the fullest, and we've not missed a beat in covering this higher than normal open positions that we have. So it's obviously working for them and probably working for others. So just be on the lookout or even give consideration to that. Now, if you're one property in one market, this is not applicable, but this could be something that could solve some problems for you. Mm-hmm. Another report that came out on leasing You might know Dom Beveridge. He's been in the industry for a long time. He worked at RealPage, and he's worked for a couple other places as a consultant. He has a website called 20 for 20. So it's the number 20 and then F-O-R and the number 20. And he just put out his annual report, which is always really good. And there was a section on staffing in there. And he spoke to 25 leading executive CEO types all over the industry, and apparently 30% are using a central, are looking at changing their staffing models, and 30% are thinking about changing their staffing models. So, yeah, this is something that is on top of mind for a lot of these companies.
Yeah, and just for the benefit of our listeners, I think for the last 4 years since they've come out with the 20 for 20 report, Dom has been a guest on the show where he goes through the report in detail. So feel free to go to our website at multifamilyradio.com, and you will find several weeks ago, I believe, from when this is being first broadcast, Dom was on the show. So it is very interesting. It is good information, and Dom always brings the receipts. There's no question about that. I did want to make one comment about leasing. You know, there is a company that happens to be a sponsor of our show, but that thinks outside the box, and they are continually picking up traction, and that's Rev, R-E-V, which is a leasing management company. And basically, you may be hearing more about this, Paul, in the future. That's why I wanted to bring it up, is that their business model is they provide leasing personnel, which they train and they manage, and are actually their employees, although they work under the direction of the property manager, just like any other leasing management company would have. If for some reason that person's not working out, they have an app. You just put something on the app, and they'll send someone else out there. Where that seems to help a lot of people is that they don't have to worry about the training. They don't have to worry about the onboarding from the standpoint of the cost of bringing on a new hire, and it really works well for owners that have, you know, that own and manage their own assets, as well as lease ups or troubled properties that need help with leasing, and they have a footprint that's in several states across the country. So that's another option as far as leasing goes. We got about 4 minutes left in the segment. Let's talk a little bit about what are you hearing on maintenance workers? That's one of the big holes that a lot of people have.
Yeah. So I was talking to some folks at TriCap Residential about their how they're dealing with staffing. And interestingly, they've created maintenance jobs or maintenance positions. They've rewritten the job descriptions so that they're hiring someone whose primary job is to handle the administrative side of things, the work orders, scheduling turns, dealing with capital expenditures, setting up preventive maintenance schedules. Because as you know, when you have your maintenance techs working every day, they're going to the property to serve the work orders of the residents. Something's broken, something needs to be fixed, something needs to be improved or changed out or whatever it is. So by taking the administrative tasks off the maintenance team, so to speak, it really makes them do a better job, be less stressed out, less burnout, et cetera, and really focus on what they do best. Because, you know, if somebody can fix an air conditioner, that doesn't necessarily mean they can run a budget spreadsheet on capital expenditure costs. I mean, yes, it would be great if they could do both, but why not have them focus on the thing that they do best? And I thought that was just a great idea.
No, that is a great idea.
And I also heard on a webinar 2 weeks ago, I think Apartments.com had it, Barbara Corcoran, who we know from Shark Tank. Mm-hmm. She was talking about her company, and she wasn't talking about the apartment industry, but she brought up a good point. She says when she was running her company, she had hired somebody. Again, you have to find someone to hire, right?
Right.
But she had found a couple of people who, and their only job was to fill in for people going on vacation. And she told the story that when she brought her staff in for the first day of one of those all groups training things, she says, the first thing we're going to do is everyone's going to open up their Outlook calendar and schedule their vacations, because you are required to take X number of vacation days per quarter. And we all know that people don't take enough vacation or feel guilty about taking vacation and all those kind of things. But if you've got somebody whose only job is to fill in and be a floater, to me, that's going to make people feel a lot better.
Yeah. No, and of course, one of the big topics with staffing right now is burnout. So, because of COVID. So certainly that would help. I did want to mention one thing. We've got about 2 minutes left in this segment. I did see a post from the great Stephanie Anderson in the industry, talking about the problems with people resigning, the Great Resignation, and mm-hmm. that there is I think around 1 in 5 people who leave their jobs end up having some regrets, and the gist of what she was saying was, why don't we do something to try and keep people instead of letting them get away? And a lot of that has to do with the fact that communication probably needs to be better. What are your thoughts?
Oh, my gosh, of course. Yeah, communication usually solves everything. It's amazing. I did a story recently about something called, I can't think of what it is. It's not a exit interview. It's called a stay interview. And what you do is you set those up with the supervisor and the employee regularly, I don't know, once a quarter or whatever is comfortable. And you basically talk about the person's performance and position and what their goals are and where they want to be a year from now and all this stuff. Those are things that you normally talk about during an initial job interview. And when they leave the company, you ask them, well, why are you leaving? Well, mm-hmm. you need to do these stay interviews more regularly while the employee is there to, of course, persuade them to stay. So that's something that you could read about on my platform, or I'm sure you've heard about it in the HR circles.
Sure. All right. Wonderful. We're going to break it here and be back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters right after these messages. You're listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
In a world where keeping up with an ever-evolving technology landscape continues to be a challenge, Allegion helps property managers cut through the noise to supply their residents with the amenity most critical to the digital generation, mobile access control. Ideal for the multifamily market, Allegion has designed mobile-enabled solutions that streamlines access while providing the security and benefits for developers, property managers, and residents alike. To learn more about Allegion's access control product offerings, please visit usallegion.com/MFM.
Do you have multiple multifamily properties in your portfolio? Take control of your unpredictable IT spending with our managed IT services. Whether you have 5 or 500 properties, CTS has you covered with 24/7 nationwide remote and on-site support. Our pricing allows you to budget IT costs year after year with a predictable flat monthly rate. CTS provides the expertise, management, support, and tech infrastructure for all your properties. Call 888-255-9715 or visit ctsglobaltech.com for a free quote.
REV, the multifamily leasing company, is the industry's long-term affordable leasing management solution. After all, it's really not about cost. It's really all about revenues. Book REV's expert directors and leasing career professionals for your properties today. Let REV drive revenues and create significant incremental value for you. Reduce stress, stabilize and maximize leasing performance. Never expend resources to recruit or train for leasing again. Lease up, value add, conventional leasing. Let REV be your long-term leasing solution. Go to revlmc.com to find out more. That's revlmc.com. REV is revolutionizing multifamily leasing. Hire REV today.
Well, we are back with our final segment of this episode of Multifamily Matters. and we're discussing the topic of what is currently on the horizon for multifamily. I'm Paul Marks. Joining me by phone is a very prolific journalist who covers the multifamily industry daily, Paul Bergeron, executive editor of real estate content platform Thought Leadership Today. And Paul, we talked in the last segment a lot about some of the staffing issues and challenges that people are having, but let's talk a little bit about staff appreciation. What have you been hearing about that?
Yeah, if you're a follower on LinkedIn, which is where I do a lot of my posting and a lot of my news gathering, I've really been impressed by the number of posts that companies and individuals have been putting up about either, wow, we just hired this person and here's a picture of them and they're loving their job, or here they are interacting with their staff on a project or on a social event within the company. And then individuals, too, are getting a great opportunity to say, look, I just got hired. This is my new position. I can't wait to get started and things like that. I mean, they really – apartment careers has been a big topic my entire career in apartment reporting. But it's really kind of taken on some momentum in the last year or so through these channels like LinkedIn, where companies are able to promote themselves as a job destination or a career track. And it's really impressive if you spend some time looking at this. I will be writing a story about it a couple weeks from now, by the way, because that was a session at the Social Media Summit with Jennifer Stachokas and also Jen Picotti. Did a great session on that. But yeah, it's been great to see everybody kind of being highlighted that way. Because, I mean, we talk about how competitive this industry is right now and people changing jobs. It's great when people find jobs that they like.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I've been on LinkedIn for many years, and I have noticed a huge uptick in those types of posts. And you know, I thought, well, maybe I'm just getting different, you know, as I'm growing my network of connections, maybe I'm just getting into different networks. But it's pretty much across the board. I mean, all different companies are doing that, and obviously it's paying dividends for them because they keep doing it.
Yeah, I think it kind of, I don't want to say it started, but it kind of started last summer. Yeah. I remember seeing at Apartmentalize, somebody put a post up about we're hiring now, and it was a picture of their pool at their apartment community, because at the time, and really still today, everybody was doing a lot of remote working. You know, that's not always perfect for the apartment industry, but there are apartment jobs where you can work remotely. And you can attract employees who want to work remotely and say, look, here's a picture of your new office. And then you show this wonderful swimming pool with palm trees in it. I mean, that's just great marketing.
Yeah, that is. Let's talk a little bit about fair housing. I know April is Fair Housing Month. So tell us a little bit about what you're learning about that.
Yeah, I mean, fair housing is so important. Never goes away. I mean, there was a session that I saw recently about it with April Rogers, who's a fair housing trainer who we know and love. And she was talking about the fact that, you know, fair housing rules got put in place, I think it was around 1968, sometime in the 60s, and the rules haven't really changed. You know, the people have changed and what you see has changed, but they're still in place. And I think that what she was talking about that was interesting were word choices. She goes, use your correct words. And there's, I've got this list here I can go over real quick of terminology that people use and what you used to use and what you should use now. And I think a lot of it's kind of self-explanatory. You know, there's a push now not to use the phrase master bedroom. You're supposed to use primary or main bedroom. Don't put in your ads his or her sinks. You don't want to say that. You want to say dual sinks. Don't talk about Jack and Jill bedrooms. You can call them connected bedrooms. Here's one that really stands out, and I'm kind of surprised it took so long, but you don't say something is handicap accessible. You say that it includes universal design. That's a better phrase to use in your ads. Don't put things like walking distance in your ads. Instead, tell how many blocks away something is. In terms of ages, it's not 55 and older. it's 55 and fun. it's not 62 and older. It's 62 and better. You don't have a cathedral ceiling in your property. You have a soaring ceiling. You don't offer walk-in closets. You offer gigantic closets. There's not a family room in your property. There's a great room. I mean, some of these things people have been using already, but it's just a nice list to have so that you can, you know, stay on target with your phrasing. You know, the other one you get is, should you have human models in your photos? As a publisher of a magazine, as I used to do, you always want to have people in your photos. They just make them better. But people are kind of cautious about, well, who should we show? Are we showing the proper level of diversity, et cetera? What are the rules? And really what fair housing tells you is that you just have to make sure that you are reasonably representing those who live in your metro area. So there's not a quota, but you just want to mix it up just to represent your community the best. And then the other overarching rule for that is describe your community. Don't describe the people who live there. Those are some of the tips that I picked up at a webinar recently.
Yeah, and I would say that one of the other things that has always stuck with me about fair housing is the emphasis that everybody seems to put on it to make sure that people are trained and training is up to date. What are you finding about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you really stop and think about what we were talking before about hiring people, I mean, apartment communities are hiring outside the industry, right? Because it makes sense and because they need people. Well, think about all the people who don't know anything about fair housing that you've hired recently. I mean, you don't want them working for you for months, not being aware of some of the basic standards of fair housing. So, I mean, April's a great month to take some training, but really you should be training your people. You should have quarterly training. I know Grace Hill does a great job at training for fair housing, and they're doing a lot of things in April as they do year round. But yeah, I mean, you really want to make sure new hires get that training. There's no excuse to delay that, because you'll find that if you're sued, you know, having an excuse is not an excuse. Being innocent or being unaware of these rules is not a cause for them to say, oh, okay, that's okay, then here, to go learn. You really need to train these people.
Yeah, and it's a never-ending thing. It's gonna be something mm-hmm. that's perpetual for now on. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about, we touched on it in the first segment, but some of the upcoming conferences that are going to be available out there. What are you seeing?
Yeah, for West Coast people, it's particularly interesting, I think. It's kind of what comes around goes around. But coming up in April, I'm going to be really busy. So you might be familiar with an organization called Urban Land Institute, and they do a lot of things related to commercial real estate in urban settings, including apartments. Well, they have a conference April 19th in San Diego, and that's 2 or 3 days. And then after that's over, the very next day, we have the Apartment Innovation and Marketing Conference, which is in Huntington Beach, California, about, I don't know, 90 miles away. So I'll be at that. That'll be 3 days. If you haven't been to that conference, it's a lot of fun. I'm not going to kid you. And it's a beautiful venue right on the beach. And it's great information about innovation. So we'll look for you there. Then right as that ends, the very last day of that is the first day of the Texas Apartment Association, which is in Houston. Now, believe it or not, in 20 years, I've never been to the TAA conference, but I'm scheduled to go there. So I'm looking forward to seeing everyone at that, covering some of their sessions. So that's boom, 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 right in a row. In the course of 10 days, you have three great conferences.
Mm. And then, of course, in June, we've got Apartmentalize coming up.
Yeah, and guess what? It's back in San Diego. So there you go. Yeah, Apartmentalize is in June. I can't remember the exact date. It's probably the third week. That's usually when it is. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the granddaddy of them all, and really looking forward to seeing everyone at that conference.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's transition. We've got about 3 minutes left. Let's transition a little bit I always find it interesting to discuss your background because you have a very, very strong background in the apartment industry, multifamily. Tell our listeners a little bit about what you've done.
Okay, so I started in 2002. I was hired by National Apartment Association to produce their monthly magazine called Units, and I did that. So I did that for about 18 years and really turned it into a great magazine that I was very proud of. And for those out there who have read it, that's great. And if you aren't, you should. They are still producing it. It's a great publication. You can see a lot of it online as well. I left there, and I basically just kind of created my own platform called Thought Leadership Today, and you'll find it on my LinkedIn page. And you'll find the hashtag of Thought Leadership Today on LinkedIn. And what I do is if I see something interesting, I post it there. If I've written something interesting, I post it there, and I welcome people to view and comment on it. And a lot of the things we've talked about today, I have touched on in posts there. I'm also writing right now for Globe Street. If you're familiar with the publication Globe Street, they cover commercial real estate. I'm doing about 3 stories a day for them, so you'll see my byline there. And I'm doing a lot of blogging and event recap writing for a lot of our favorite partners, things like apartments.com. I just did a lot for them. Been working with AppFolio, LeaseHawk, Knock, Funnel, you name it. So I'm getting a lot of opportunities to learn about a lot of products and talk to a lot of their customers. So the content that I produce is not a commercial. It's really talking about the value of what these things offer and why people choose to use it.
And if somebody wanted to be able to get in touch with you to discuss a need they had, how could they do that?
Oh, okay. Well, there is a contact link on my LinkedIn profile that you can find. Should have my email and my phone. If not, feel free to reach out to me at pbergeron333 at Gmail.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to seeing you soon, Paul, here in Houston at TAA. When you make it here. But in the meantime, we are going to be back next week with another great topic and power panel of industry experts. You've been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.
Thank you for listening to Multifamily Matters, a weekly radio show that discusses current topics and trends in the multifamily industry. To find out more about the show or make suggestions for topics or interesting guests, go to multifamilyradio.com. You have been listening to Multifamily Matters because multifamily matters.